My name is Jensen Karp, and I'm a sports fan. But right now, things are pretty dire. Sure, I can Zoom with friends and talk for hours about how Scottie Pippen was underpaid, or how Dennis Rodman was incredibly interesting no matter what Bill Simmons tweets. But that's a lot different than watching the NBA playoffs live with the boys, which would be happening right now if we lived in a better timeline. So as a result of this chain of events, I continue to talk to athletes and sports industry professionals about what they're doing in quarantine, hoping to figure out if they miss competing as much as I miss watching it. Oh, and thanks to you listeners, we're now a top new and noteworthy show on Apple Podcasts, and that's all because of you. So please continue to rate and review and subscribe and tell your friends and constantly refresh your phone until your fingers are bleeding and we release new episodes. It all helps. Anyway, this is the No Sports Report. Dwight Smith Jr. has baseball in his DNA. His father, Dwight Smith Sr., is a World Series champ as a member of the 1995 Atlanta Braves, and in 1989, he was the first and only rookie in MLB history to sing the national anthem before a game he played in, and that's the most impressive thing I've ever heard. And now his son Jr. was a first-round draft pick in 2011, and last year was the starting left fielder for the Baltimore Orioles. Despite an injury that shortened his season, he showed signs of comfort in the bigs and started 2020 spring training on a tear. So this postponement was really bad timing for the emerging slugger. But he's used this time off to join the Players League for MLB The Show, where he's excelled and, to his surprise, made the playoffs. We get into that and we talk about how to pandemic diet, what it's like living with your whole family during quarantine, and his TikTok Toosie slide. Then I catch up with Late Late Show with James Corden co-head writer Ian Carmel, who, besides being the celebrity face of the Blazers, is about to co-star with Gronk and Venus Williams on a show that debuts May 20th on CBS. All this and more in my discussion with Dwight Smith Jr. on the No Sports Report.
Call from
Dwight Smith Jr.
To accept, press 1. Press.
Hello, Dwight.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I know you're from Georgia, but where are you quarantined at today?
I'm in Peachtree City, Georgia. At my family's house.
Okay. All right. And who's in the family house? Who's the one who actually stuck with you 24 hours a day?
My mom, my dad, and my two sisters.
Okay. How old are your sisters?
One's 18, the other one is 25.
See, that's always the crazy part for me, because I've talked to a couple pro athletes like yourself who have went from being, you know, like these sort of self-sufficient star athletes in their lives. And because of the quarantine, you are back in the midst of your family. Do you have to like take out the trash and do all your chores again?
No, not really. I mean, we just clean up after ourselves anyway, so.
All right, it's not too bad. You don't have to like clean up the macaroni and cheese dishes for everyone. It's not like you guys have to like switch back and forth who takes out the trash.
No, just take care of your own plate and that's pretty much it.
Well, we will get into how you're doing in the Players League for MLB The Show, but how else are you passing time outside of video games?
I've been working out in my garage, working out with my dad, like throwing. I've been hitting at the cage whenever I can. I faced a couple live pitchers. And yeah, just other than that, I just listen to music. I'll watch some documentaries. I've been watching a Michael Jordan Last Dance.
Oh, so good.
Anyway, anything that could pass time, really.
Well, not everyone is lucky enough to have a former major leaguer for a dad to work out with. Where are you guys playing catch? Is this like a driveway situation?
Yeah, like the driveway, or if like we're at the cage, we'll throw at the cage and then he'll hit me ground balls or hit me fly balls, just like stuff I would do with him as a kid.
Yeah, that's so weird. I mean, because you were drafted back in 2011, you made your debut, I think, in 2017 for the Jays. And it's like, here you are back in the same situation from when you were like in Little League, 12 years old.
Yeah, it's definitely taken me back to those glory days, and it's been fun to go back. I've been to places I haven't been to in years, so seeing those old fields and that I grew up on is kind of cool to go back to.
Yeah, I mean, are there any new hobbies, anything you've picked up to pass time? I saw that you did the 2C slide on TikTok. We might need to talk about that a little.
Okay, yeah, I started a little TikTok page because my sister kept bugging me about doing TikTok since we've been in quarantine. So she's been trying to get me in to do all this new stuff. She's keeping me in the wave.
Yeah. See, you're much younger than I am. I am 40 and I downloaded it again so that I could be, you know, one with the cool kids. And I could not have felt more out of touch. I was like, wait, so everyone is able to mimic and lip sync exactly? How do they do that? There's no cheat or anything. They just have to learn all the pauses and stuff.
Yeah, supposedly there's like a dance for like pretty much every song, and they give you instructions on how to do it, and you just either do that or you freestyle it yourself and make it your own.
I've never felt more out of touch in my life.
Yeah, I feel like every generation it changes.
Absolutely. Diet is extremely difficult for myself during quarantine. I feel like every Costco run that we do every couple of weeks, I walk out with more and more snacks. How do you find yourself being able to eat healthy in your parents' house again?
Like my mom does a good job of keeping the house healthy and not too much junk food. Definitely I'll eat some junk food here and there, but I try not to eat too much of it or else that won't be good for me because I'm a big sweets guy and I've tried to stay away from all that stuff. But if I see a donut, like I'll crush it immediately. So I'll try to stay away from the sweets as much as I can.
My body doesn't know when to, and this is true. This is not me saying hyperbole. I truly don't know when to stop eating donuts.
Yeah.
I eat one glazed or whatever, and then I guess I could eat a dozen maybe?
Yeah, definitely a dozen from Krispy Kreme for sure.
Yeah, exactly. From Krispy Kreme. They don't even film me or anything. I'm just like, this is air.
Yeah.
Do you watch any other sports? Has it been difficult to not have anything else in your life as far as athletics to watch on television?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big basketball fan. The playoffs were supposed to start like now. So I love watching playoff basketball. I really miss that a lot since I can't watch sports except for like classic games, which are cool at the same time.
Yeah, but we know how they end.
Yeah, that is true. We do know how they end.
I have to like basically Men in Black myself so I forget everything that's going on in order to watch like a old Celtics game.
Yeah, you know how they end, but you forget bits and pieces that you forgot, and you're like, wow, I forgot about that part.
Did you take on the Raptors, or are you still a Hawks guy?
I was a Raptors fan when I was in Toronto. Like, I was rooting for them. I've always been, like, a LeBron James fan, so, like, I've been rooting for LeBron James for, like, the longest. I've never really been a Hawks fan.
Sure.
But they've definitely got a couple of players on their team, like Trae Young and they just got Capella,
yeah.
And I saw they were trying to trade for DeMar DeRozan, former Raptors player. So that'd be pretty cool if they get a good team in Atlanta, because they had a good team a couple years ago when they were playoff contender.
Yeah, I mean, that would be the best part about me being in baseball and being traded around. It's like now you're in Baltimore, which doesn't have the same kind of options as Toronto did for basketball. So I'd be like, well, I played in Toronto, so now I'm a Raptors fan. I would just pick different teams based on what cities I'm in if they're the best.
Yeah. So I just wait for football.
Yeah, that's true.
At that point.
Very true. Yeah, I'm a Clippers guy, so I'm screwed no matter what.
Oh, Clippers got a really good team now.
Let's hope. I mean, if we even get back on the whatever. I mean, listen, Kawhi has an option. You know that, right? Like at the end of this whatever quote-unquote season is, Kawhi could technically leave.
He's not going to leave.
All right, good. Thank you. I'm holding Dwight Smith Jr. to this. all right. Last season, you ended the year injured. You utilized this whole offseason to get back into shape and had a great spring training, at least to start to. It's showing off the hard work you put in. How much does this postponement throw off your progress?
I wouldn't say it postponed my progress because I'm still working on what I was doing in the offseason. So the work doesn't stop just because we ain't playing games. Like I said, I've been facing live BP, doing all my outfield stuff, my conditioning, my weightlifting. So keep my arm ready. Just whenever they say we can come back, I'll be ready.
Speaking of going back on the field, have you ever imagined what a game would be like without any fans?
I actually did it before playing in extended spring training, and I played in the Florida State League for a year. That was pretty much no fans. So, like, going through the minor leagues, you'll experience that. But it's tough. You got to really, really keep yourself locked in. But whenever there's a game, I'm going to be locked in. So,
yeah.
Fans or no fans, like, I've always been focused whenever I'm playing a game. And sure, it helps when you got, like, 50,000 in the stands just rooting you on to give you that little extra kick when you need it, whenever. But either way, these games are going to be fun to play.
Totally. And I like the idea that certain players can pretend they're signing autographs, throw balls into the stands when no one's there. I'm more into the bits that are going to be created because of it.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely going to be some funny commentary on that.
Well, let's get into MLB The Show. You have been participating in the Players League. We have talked to Gavin Lux and Amir Garrett recently on the podcast. You are representing the Orioles. Last night was very big for you. People who aren't following day by day, let them know what you were able to clinch last night.
Oh, wow. I did.
You did. You are in the playoffs.
Oh, wow. Well, that's great.
I'm breaking this news to you?
Yeah, because I didn't know when the season ended. So I knew my season was over. So I was just sitting and waiting to see what was going to go on.
Yeah. So you I believe, went like 19 and 10, something like that.
Yeah.
And that it was up to other players whether they win or lose for you to get into the playoffs. And you have you've set your spot for sure.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Well, you had a very fast start. You were pegged as an early favorite. How much had you played the game in the past before joining the Players League?
I played the game quite a bit ever since I got the PS4 system, because that was like the only baseball game out there since MVP. They got rid of that game on EA, and since like probably like 14, and I've loved playing it ever since.
Do you like other games? Do you play other video games as well, or just the sports ones?
Yeah, I play NBA 2K. I play Call of Duty for sure. I played Grand Theft Auto. I played all kinds of different games.
I guess as a kid, you were lucky enough to have maybe your dad show up in some games here or there. But I am so bewildered by the fact that you grew up playing probably these EA Sports games and 2K and stuff, and now here you are in the show.
Yeah, it's insane. I remember growing up playing with my dad on Sega Saturn, if you remember that system.
Oh, yeah, please.
I remember playing him as a kid on that system, and now I'm playing with myself on PS4. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's a totally insane thing. You lost to Joey Gallo, who at times has looked completely unstoppable. Why is he so good?
Joey's tough because he lays off of like great pitches that are like barely off the strike zone, and then you make one mistake over the part of the plate and he doesn't miss.
Yeah.
So that's what makes him pretty tough as an opponent. And whenever you get any of those guys that have like a great eye, that's the toughest thing. It's the toughest people to get out.
Yeah, I watched a bit last night on Twitch at a couple games, and you guys go three innings. It goes insanely fast. And I just, it's like almost you have to know where the pitches are going to be. It's almost mathematical to a point.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like if it's down the plate and you get a good swing at it, it's definitely getting a shot at getting through a hole or a home run or something. But it is sort of like routines. You guys almost are kind of just getting through the motions and trying your hardest to get the right pitch.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like anything in the box is a homer. So I try to stay away from that as much as I can and try not to make too many mistakes and try to let them make outs for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of mistakes, you beat Nico Goodrum of the Tigers by a score 17-1. It has birthed a bit of a meme out of the league of you calling him on the phone and laughing at him and telling him, "I'm sorry, Nico." How does a score of 17-1 exist?
While the game was going on, he actually called me. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I got to answer. And then, you know, the rest from there, he was just like, this is insane. Like, wow. Like, how are you doing this right now? I was just in the zone.
Nico did this thing that I do all the time, which is pretend something's wrong with the game. So he was like on the phone with you and he goes, I don't know. It's not working for me. I'm trying as hard as I can. He's like sort of putting the blame on someone else, which I love.
Oh, yeah. We were just having fun with it, though, at that point. We just, after the score got out of hand, he's like, all right, I'll just throw the ball down the middle. And then sure enough, he hits a corner. Then, like, he tries to hit a corner. It ends up down the middle.
That's great. You've gotten a ton of kudos for taking this Orioles lineup team this far in MLB The Show, which is funny because there is a lot of comparisons between the video game and the actual baseball. So you were going up against big market teams with higher ratings. Does the video game success of the Orioles say anything about the in-real-life Orioles?
Yeah, for sure. Because we definitely have some good players on the Orioles. I feel like a lot of guys are slept on, for sure. And we have some dangerous hitters in that lineup. And we got a couple power arms that are coming up through the ranks. And we were starting to show that in spring training. And we just developed those good habits. And then we were going to take them into the season and see where that takes us.
Yeah, well, if the show tells us anything, it's that you guys are definitely being underestimated. Your managerial skills in the game as well, which I play the show kind of passively, not as much as you guys clearly, but people are saying that you are using an actual managerial skill in your games. What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm a student of the game. I just try to match up, but like I pretty much have to with like everybody having these overpowered teams, so I can't just like go out there and then try to overpower people with stuff when they got like a Cody Bellinger, like a Mike Trout, like some of the best players in the game. So you really got to play baseball. that's the only way to beat those big market teams. You got to play small ball. You got to work your way out of situations. So I just have fun with it. And then I ask the fans who I should put in. So I just have fun with it.
Is managing in MLB The Show, does it ever give you sort of the desire to want to coach or manage later in life?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put it out of question. Maybe one day for sure. But at this point, I'm a player right now, so I'm not even thinking about coaching at any time soon.
Do any teammates text or call you to play better as them?
Alberto was getting on me at the beginning of the season because I wasn't getting as many hits with him. And then the last, like, second half of the season, I couldn't get out with him. So he texted me, he's like, yeah, he's like, that's me right there.
Well, I'm excited this week. And the thing that I've liked most about the Players League is that it shows off the personalities of some of the baseball players in the league, which is something we haven't really been able to see with Major League Baseball so much. It's more about the team and not so much individual. Do you think that something like this, the MLB Show, Players League, can get more individual-based marketing going for MLB?
Yeah, definitely, because if you ask any of the other 30 guys that have done this, they probably tell you the same thing. They probably enjoyed it. And it was pretty fun. Like, some of the guys I've never interacted with before, and it was fun to kind of talk to the guys, kind of face them, see what they've got going on right now at home. So it was a fun experience from my perspective, and I think they should definitely continue this in the future.
Absolutely, man. Well, you know, we hope to see you go further in the playoffs. I know I'll be rooting you on, but my question involves the overall pandemic, which is, do you think there's anything that we've taken on during this time, you know, adapting because of COVID-19 that we should be maybe thinking about using in the future, even when things are cured up?
We definitely could take in-house workouts into account now. I know a lot of people probably didn't do that before. Probably a lot of people went to the gym or didn't work out at all. But I mean, you pretty much learn a new hobby. Whatever new hobby you learned in-house, you could probably just keep doing that. Like, I've seen people playing the guitar. I've seen people, like, read books, or I've seen people do paintings. Like,
whoa.
People are getting real creative during this time. So I should say, take your creativity and make it to something bigger outside of the house.
I like it. I'm hoping to see a home run celebration from you this year where you touch home base and then do the 2C slide.
The 2C slide? I'll try to keep that in mind. I probably won't do it on the field because I don't want to get hit.
Yeah.
So I'll probably do something in the dugout.
Yeah, it does sort of, it's a little bigger than the bat flip even. So I would be nervous for your health. Okay. I'm going to give you a couple suggestions for you during quarantine, some things that might fill up some time as we go around a corner here with, I guess we're in month two. These are some suggestions that I wanted to give you, things that if you have some free time, you could get into. First, my wife and I made a rare trip to the market this past week. We needed a re-up, and we saw something in the frozen aisle that made us freak out. We actually did a bit of a dance ourselves. It was just released this week, which is true, and I can't think of a more opportune time, or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's an inopportune time since some people can't go to the market, but it is a brand new ice cream. Do you like ice cream?
Yeah, I like ice cream.
Okay, here we go. It is Cinnamon Toast Crunch ice cream.
What?
Yeah, if I had a DJ air horn, I would have hit it right there. I haven't had it yet. We have it just sitting in the freezer. We're almost like treating it like it's a fine wine, but it's not, I mean, if they want to sponsor the show, they can. They're not a sponsor or anything, but it is so good. I guess they also released a Lucky Charms ones. I'm sorry if this affects your workout regimen and your diet, but I just want to let you know you could go to a market at any time and get these two new ice creams.
Who makes those ice creams?
Honestly, I didn't notice the major company, but I just saw the name Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and I could not have gotten one faster into my cart.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good right now, actually.
All right, there you go. That's the first one. Second one, you appear to be a sports jersey guy. I am as well. On Instagram, you've rocked the Mighty Ducks Conway jersey. You have the Love and Basketball Crenshaw McCall. So I checked eBay for you, and I found some other gems. Are you ready for these? All available right now on eBay.
All right, let me hear them.
All right, one, baseball. I wanted to go to your sport first. Billy Haywood, number 20 on the Minnesota Twins. He's the kid who inherits the team and manages them.
Okay.
You know that one?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Okay, that jersey is available on eBay. Two, Willie Beeman's Any Given Sunday jersey.
I almost got that jersey.
Okay.
I just didn't get it at that time.
All right, Miami Sharks. I'm on the right track then. And then lastly, the Charlotte Banshees. I found the Juana Man jersey.
Really?
I did. And it says man on the back.
That's not a bad one to get. I actually like that movie too.
See, good movie. It's a hard jersey too, walking around. All right, lastly, I've really thought this one out. You're new to TikTok, and I was thinking, with everyone lip-syncing clips, I would like them to try to create a meme out of you saying, "I'm sorry, Nico," and laughing. So if you're killing someone in something, like you're just beating the crap out of them, then you can mimic. Here, let's play the clip here. Let's play it.
All right, let me hear it.
I'm sorry, Nico. Sorry, Nico.
Bruh! Hey, man! There ain't nothing I can do. I can't. I literally can't do nothing. Hey, y'all, this is Smitty, bro. Yeah, I'm on FaceTime with. I can't do anything. The ball goes down the middle. Hey, man. Hey,
bro. Bro, I was saying, bro, I'm so sorry.
Right, I'm pitch, bro. Hey, let's see what happens, bro. I'm finna throw a pitch, and we'll just see, bro.
All right.
At the plate, Richie Martin. As he swings and grounds it through the middle. Great effort on the dive, but it's through into
left. Bro, first of all,
so, like, if someone just dunked on their little brother, you could stand over them and you can say, "I'm sorry, Nico," and then the laugh. Or you can, like, tie your sister's shoes together and she trips. And when they get mad, just film you and mimic the clip.
Are you playing the clip right now?
Listen, I'll play it over and over again. I'll play it for my wife. If I see my wife accidentally trip, I will stand over her and mimic the words, "I'm sorry, Nico," with a laugh.
That would be funny.
Well, I'm into it. Well, thank you so much, Dwight, for talking to me. And please stay safe with your family, and excited to see you back on the field soon.
Thank you, and stay safe with you and your family, too.
Thank you, man. After this break, in another installment of Fandemic, we'll check in with comedian and Trailblazers diehard Ian Carmel. Right now, Feeding America is working tirelessly to ensure our most vulnerable populations, like students who are out of school, the elderly, individuals whose jobs are impacted, and low-income families, continue to have access to food and other needed resources during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Feeding America Food Bank Network is committed to serving communities and people facing hunger in America, and their greatest need is donations and support of local food banks. This podcast is committed to donating a portion of the proceeds from the show to Feeding America, and we hope that you can join us in this effort too. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org/COVID-19. And now my Fandemic chat with comedian and Blazers fanatic Ian Carmel.
What's up, Jensen? How are you?
I'm doing as well as I can. I feel I'm athleted out a little bit. I talk to someone almost every day, and now I figured it's time to check in on a friend.
It's time to check in on your least athletic friend.
That is hardly true. This whole thing is based in the idea that there are no sports, yet you have filmed a show that is shrouded in secrecy. But if you were to go off social media and pictures on the internet, you have some sports that you're going to put on television soon.
Oh, I do. Yeah. You know, I have no idea when it's going to come out. I wish I had a date, but yeah, the show Game On that we filmed a little bit ago before all of this hit is full of sports and full of secrecy.
Yeah. So based on you can just blink twice if I'm right on some of these things, but one, I definitely saw a Williams sister, I believe Venus.
It's Venus Williams.
Yep.
Yep. I'm on her team and we're going up against another team, which is Rob Gronkowski and the comedian Bobby Lee.
Oh, another very athletic dude, Bobby Lee.
Two just sort of, just like as, you know, if God put like an athlete together in a lab, you know, one of them would look like me, one of them would look like Bobby Lee. But each of us got hurt in the most ridiculous ways. He like slipped on a puddle and tore his hamstring so bad he had to get like physical therapy for like a month.
No. You guys truly are my comedian backcourt, though. It's a good one, too.
Absolutely. You were the John Wall and Bradley Beal of comedy. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So here's the thing. I haven't talked to anyone who's been doing comedy during this time. Everyone's basically been taking time off. You are the head writer of The Late Late Show with James Corden. You have done some episodes from his garage. How has that felt?
It has been crazy. It has been quite the adjustment. In many ways, like writing it has been the easiest part of it because like it doesn't matter what chair I'm sitting in front of and which fridge I got my LaCroix from. I can pretty much write from like wherever, you know what I mean? But like to watch you know, like the lighting department went in like one person at a time and like lit James's garage, and like our props people and set people went in one person at a time and like built a set there, and like our editors and all those people are setting up like these crazy like systems to do it, and then I'm just sitting there like with my computer on my coffee table like, yeah, this is hard.
I couldn't believe the gall on that New York Times article guy to say that we should be dressing up for Zoom calls.
Oh my God, that was insane. But that didn't really apply to me. I wear sweatpants to work in an office, so it hit me right in the stomach when he's
You were ahead of your time, man. You were ahead of your time.
Exactly. To some extent, I guess I understand why it's important to be formal, but like on the other, like I don't even really understand dressing up to go into the office. Mm-hmm. Like unless you're trying to impress clients or whatever, it's like if you get the job done, who cares?
True. 100%. I'm with you. I've said on this podcast before, there are no jeans in my vocabulary, even when we go back for a while. I can't believe that there's been nice sweatpants that I just haven't purchased in the past.
Oh my God. I remember when I first heard like Jay-Z rapping about, you know, these came out next year, but these are my last year's sweats.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to figure out what kind of lifestyle that is and get whatever my budget XXL Fashion Nova version of it is.
I have been buying up what I can, used StockX to see how much Supreme sweats are. I've done everything I have to do to figure it out. I feel like I'm
those
there.
Ones with the weird like dragon face that goes over your crotch kind of thing.
I know that one well. Those are Bape, I think. I will rock them no matter what your time. Listen, I have no shame when it comes to sweats at this point. I'm all in.
I have one piece of Bape clothing. It's a pair of shoes. Damian Lillard, who has a shoe contract with Adidas,
Did
a Bathing Ape version of, I think, the Dame 4, I think it was. And I was like, I got to get these. These are so dope. And I got them. And because the material of the shoe is like really, really stubborn, I can't even get my foot in them. So they're just sitting there on a shelf. I can't even wear the one piece of Bathing Ape clothing I thought I could fit into.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, they're a vinyl almost. They're never a comfortable shoe. And
no.
Two, you do kind of look like a narc when you wear them. I've never purchased them. I've tried them on before and immediately kids like ran away from me.
You know the ones. You have to be like, you have to be a 98-pound Japanese teenager to pull those off, I think, or Damian Lillard.
Either of those two things. Have you thought about stand-up in a post-pandemic world? You're a very funny stand-up comedian, and obviously there are no gigs right now unless you do some of those virtual online things, which I think is also strange. But have you thought about the world post-quarantine?
I've thought about it. I think, you know, I'm not too worried about stand-up comedy. I'm almost weirdly more worried about not the upper crust, not like your like Tom Segura's and like, you know, people who are selling out theaters and stuff like that. I guess I'm more worried about like the people who perform in like clubs, like your Helium comedy clubs and stuff like that, because, you know, those are basically restaurants. It's going to be hard for those to stay open. But as far as like the art form itself goes, like, I don't know, I started performing in like the back room of like a barbecue restaurant in Portland, Oregon. You know, or you would do, it's like, we'll just go up wherever you put us.
Yeah.
So as long as there are buildings that want something to distract people while they sell drinks, I think stand-up comedy will be okay.
And also, you know what's kind of strange is like my whole life, people have brought up comedy and I always, like you, I'm always like, you know, whatever, we tell stupid jokes. Like, I you know, we always kind of say that. And that is how I feel. But then every once in a while, people go, well, you know, court jesters and comedians back in the day, they almost were like the highest form of entertainment and royalty. And I'm like, what are they talking about? But I do think that in times like this, it seems, beyond the idea that we think what we do is dumb, people depend on laughing.
Oh, yeah.
It's shocking.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see on Netflix when these specials come out, especially right now, that Netflix is like ranking them. It's like, oh, Chris D'Elia has like the number three most watched thing on Netflix. And it's like,
yeah.
I mean, that makes sense because he's a very popular stand-up comedian. But on the other hand, it's like, that's fucking crazy. In all of America, this is the thing. Because people, I think, do like, people absolutely want to laugh right now. They need to laugh right now. The frustrating thing, I guess, is like figuring out how to get it to them without, you know, relying on like pre-recorded content. Because like going back to what you were saying about these Zoom stand-up comedy shows, I've seen a couple of them. And it's not really stand-up comedy. It's like funny people hanging out, talking to each other, and that's cool too, but it's not really stand-up comedy, but I guess it goes back to what you were saying. You know what I mean? People are so thirsty to laugh at anything. They'll just literally watch like a videotape version of a podcast.
Yeah. And I guess that also represents how popular Tiger King was. Like, no one was watching that to really understand true crime. They were watching it to like laugh at the guy on the Sea-Doo.
100%. I think you're right about that.
Let's talk sports. You are a massive NBA fan like me. Your team is from your hometown, the Portland Trail Blazers. Where were you feeling the team was at the time of the stop down?
I think we were about to turn a corner. If I'm being completely honest with myself, I think this was just a snake pit season. People don't really think of the Blazers as like a super injured team because Dame and CJ were both healthy all season and Dame was playing his ass off, just having such a good season. But we also were like, you know, we were down our entire front line. Nurkic was hurt all season. And even when he was scheduled to come back, it's like this guy's coming back from a broken leg that kept him out almost a year. He's not going to be the same guy. Mm-hmm. Zach Collins was hurt. Rodney Hood was hurt. And we didn't have a super deep team anyway. So people could really key in on Dame and Siege. So I'm not sure if we would have made the playoffs because the Grizzlies were coming on strong.
Yeah.
That eighth seed was not like, you know, the Pelicans were coming on strong.
Yeah, they looked really good. I was set up to go to that Clippers game right before the stop down. And I was like, not only, I mean, obviously Zion being back is monstrous, but beyond that, I was like, this team's also just good.
Brandon Ingram, like, really went next level this season. And it was kind of, just as someone who loves basketball, it was kind of a joy to watch, you know?
Yeah, they're a run and gun. And you never sleep on J.J. Redick. Ever.
Never.
Never.
He's never missed a playoff.
No, I thought you were going to say.
So why would this year be any different?
I thought you were going to say he's never missed a shot, which also probably could be said.
He's also never missed a shot. He's one of those guys where you look at the numbers and you're like, okay, so he shoots 40% from three. So obviously he's missed some shots. But then when you watch him play, you're like, literally everything goes in.
Yeah, no matter what team you're on and he's up against you, it truly is one of those things like he's going to screw us somehow. He is one of those players. He's going to get us at some point. I just don't know when. My other question, I met you when you first moved out here from Portland, and you were obviously a basketball fan, and we connected on that. And then to watch you sort of become a representative for the team. I mean, this must blow your mind.
It is the coolest thing that could have possibly happened to me from, I mean, like, to be just like on the national stage, like people did like a Twitter thing, you know, where they're like, okay, the Lakers have Jack Nicholson, who's Portland celebrity fan. And I wasn't the only man that got mentioned, which I shouldn't be because Katie Lang is a huge Blazers fan, the Portugal, the Man guys. But just to be mentioned among those people, it was just like so fucking cool. And, like, I've worked with the team now.
Yeah.
They send me stuff preseason, which is, like, you get a box from the Blazers, and it's got, like, a jersey and some stuff. It's so cool.
It's so cool. I mean, that's got to be one of the cooler benefits of being on TV and being a working writer and all that stuff. Like, wow. I mean, that is really, I mean, it's a make-a-wish for you.
It's a complete make-a-wish thing. This is, like, what I would have wished for this over being a successful comedian. Little did I know.
You could do both.
The latter would get me the former. And I'm lucky that I'm, like, a Trailblazer fan, and, like, I didn't grow up in Chicago or New York where it's, like, oh, I have to compete with, like, actual famous people, you know?
Yeah, now I have to compete with the Clippers, but back in the day, it was just Kadeem Hardison and obviously Billy Crystal and Frankie Muniz. And then one year they asked me to do the halftime song. And I was like, oh, right, it's the Clippers. Like, they can only get me to do the halftime song.
There's still only 30 teams, though. You know what I mean? It's still so rad.
Yeah.
Now you got to, like, compete with Paul Scheer, all these Johnny Come Latelys, you know?
Well, listen, Scheer, at least we've had during Lob City. So some people have just come on since Kawhi. And I'm like, okay, bud, that's where I'll put my foot down.
That's ridiculous. These people don't know about Darius Miles.
No. They have to sit down and watch a Matt Fish compilation with me.
These people don't know about Olden Polonese. You know what I mean?
No, bro. Benoit Benjamin. They don't know any of these guys. So I will ask you how you have felt without basketball. How has it felt in your universe? How have you been taking having no sports?
So I was doing okay for a while, like without basketball. And then I was actually researching something for the show. Oh, we're doing this thing on the Late Late Show called the Shirt Off Shootout Challenge. We get people to play laundry basket basketball,
okay,
but they have to be wearing the clothes they shoot to the basket. So they're doing it from like 10 feet away.
Right.
And James Corden shot the first one. And then we got like Steph Curry, and then we got a bunch of other NBA stars to do it. So that's pretty cool. But I was researching that. And up until that point, I was like, I think I'm okay. You know what I mean? Like, I watched a ton of basketball this year, so I'm fine. And then I watched some clips, and just watching basketball made me so depressed. I was just like, I miss it so much. When's it going to come back? Oh no. Like, it really sunk me into a funk. So it's one of those things where if it's out of sight, it's kind of out of mind right now. I've got like enough distractions, your Tiger Kings, you know what I mean? Like, to Maybe I don't think about it, but holy shit, I miss it.
Yeah.
I miss it so much.
It is. It's a sport. I think I can talk from an unbiased place to say that it is a sport that seems to help shift pop culture more than any other sport. Even though football, you know, American football is more popular, it really leads the way in so many different places, whether it be comedy, like this Michael Jordan documentary that dropped, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's so excited about it. And it seems to create news more and more topics for us to laugh about and more to talk about. And I miss it. That's the thing I miss the most, is sort of the cultural shift, especially during, you know, crunch time, during playoff.
Absolutely. The games are like something that the rest of the culture reverberates out from. And the games are amazing.
Yeah.
But you're right, that the whole circus around it is so much fun.
Yeah. Somebody, I forget who it was, somebody posted the highlight where it's like all the basketball players from the Team USA on the plane, and one of them is singing like a Vanessa Carlton song or something.
Oh, yeah.
That one made me sad. I watched that and was like, God, I love these guys. They're all so funny. And, you know, the NBA is obviously the least problematic of everything in sports. And I just kind of miss the camaraderie of having a funny sport that we can all text each other about. That's what bums me out.
So much. Like, hey, did you see that Boban Marjanovic video?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a third center that comes off the bench. You know what I mean? And like, people know and love him. The thing I've been doing to fill in my sports gap is I started rewatching Ken Burns' baseball documentary.
By the way, easy joke to make when you're looking for references, but boy, is it good.
It's so good.
I know.
It's amazing. This is maybe my third time watching it, and for some reason I don't retain. But there's just so much information, so you can't retain everything you hear. But like, if we think shit is crazy now, there was some World Series game where the guy who, he hit a home run to like win the pennant, and then he forgot to touch second base.
Yeah.
But the field was like flooded with people.
Yeah.
Like, people just like stormed the field. Somebody had a ball, and these three players had to chase down a fan into the street, tackle him, rip the ball from his hand, go back into the arena, touch second base. It was called an out, and then they had to replay the game. That would be news for a year and a half if that happened. That it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, baseball's filled with insane stuff. I mean, obviously this season they would have been facing Trash Can Gate or whatever with the Astros.
Right.
But you know, Shoeless Joe, and you know, my favorite one that I seem to talk about a little bit is, you know, Pete Rose obviously bets on baseball, most likely bet on his own team, which no one really talks about, banned from the Hall of Fame. He played in an All-Star game, which means nothing, and he plummeted a catcher.
Yeah.
And the catcher never had an All-Star season again. He barely played a couple more years. He was injured forever, felt pain for the rest of his life based on the fact that Pete Rose ran into him on a close play. Like, it was a World Series game.
Yeah. He like barreled it. He threw his whole shoulder into him, right?
Yeah.
Ray Fosse.
Yeah. Awful.
Was the catcher's name.
Yeah. And barely played another All-Star season. Just was basically a utility player for the rest of his career.
He was amazing. Pete Rose, he was like Ty Cobb without the racism. He was amazing.
I think Fosse may have won the World Series after that, but I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But I know he was never the Fosse he was of that season, that's for sure.
God, man.
Great Broadway career, though, right?
Oh.
Didn't put it together in baseball, but really put it together on Broadway.
He really made the best of a bad situation.
He did.
He absolutely did.
He did.
Yeah.
Listen, so what do you think? Are you comfortable going to a game when this is all said and done, when it's time to come out of our houses and go see the Trailblazers? Are you going to feel comfortable next to someone in a seat?
I'll do what I'm told, man. I weigh 300 pounds, so I'm never comfortable next to anyone in a seat anyway.
Right.
So I might as well. But I mean, like, if they're saying, yeah, you can go and watch these games again, and it's coming from like actual intelligent people based on information they have, I'll go. Yeah, I'll be the first one back there.
All right.
I can't wait. I miss it so much. I miss the energy in there. And like, I believed them when they said stay inside, so I'll believe them when they say come out.
That's great. Well, Ian, people can listen to you on your podcast. It's All Fantasy Everything. It's one of my favorite podcasts, the entire universe. I think the other day, someone on Twitter made me list my top five podcasts. It was one of them.
Oh, thank you.
I love it so much. And you guys are still doing it through Zoom, yeah?
Yeah, we're all loaded for bear.
And for sports fans who are listening for the basketball talk or football or whatever, this is right up your alley. It is a show where three friends sit down and draft as if it's a fantasy sport, everything, as much as what's your favorite food down to, like, you guys do super obscure ones too.
Or down to one word movies, which was the episode you were on.
That's right. I think people were very mad that I didn't get Juice.
that was maybe like our 50th episode or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And the amount of times Juice has been picked since then in like whatever category people considered into. We have a category we've been saving for you for years now, and we're going to have to do it.
We will. It's Raptors. It's actors who are Raptors.
Raptors.
Yeah, top ones.
Other people have asked to do it, and we're like, nah, that's behind the glass case.
That's mine, man. That's all mine. Well, thank you, Ian. Stay safe and stay healthy, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. My best to you and your family, man. Thanks for talking.
Thanks, buddy.
The No Sports Report is produced and distributed by Treefort Media. The show is executive produced by Kelly Garner, Lisa Ammerman, and me, Jensen Karp. Our series producer is Matthew Kugler. Tom Monahan is our senior audio engineer and sound supervisor, with additional production help from Tim Schauer, June Rosen, and Haley Mandelberg, with production and editing by Jasper Leek. Our theme music is composed by Spielkus. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please subscribe, rate us, and review us on Apple Podcasts. You have nothing else to do. Send it to your friends, tweet, share, post about it, do whatever you can. And please visit feedingamerica.org. And if you're able to make a donation, any amount will help make a difference. And you can learn more about other ways to help on their website. For more information on the No Sports Report, links to the socials, and for our show transcripts for the hearing impaired listeners, please go to treefort.fm. Be safe and be well.